reading from God's holy word. There are two readings. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verses 1 through 15 is the first reading. 1 Samuel 21, 1 through 15. Hear the word of God. Then came David to Nob to Ahimelech the priest, and Ahimelech was afraid at the meeting of David, and said unto him, Why art thou alone, and no man with thee? And David said unto Ahimelech the priest, The king hath commanded me a business, and hath said unto me, Let no man know anything of the business whereabout I send thee, and what I have commanded thee. And I have appointed my servants to such and such a place. Now therefore, what is under thy hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread in mine hand of what there is present. And the priest answered David and said, There is no common bread under my hand, but there is hallowed bread, if the young men have kept themselves at least from women. And David answered the priest and said unto him, Of a truth, women have been kept from us for these 3 days since I came out, and the vessels of the young men are holy, and the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. So the priest gave him hallowed bread, for there was no bread there but the show bread, which was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg an Edomite, the chiefest of the herdsmen that belongeth to Saul. And David said unto Ahimelech, And is there not there here under thine hand a spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business requireth haste. And the priest said, The sword of Goliath the Philistine, which thou slew in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there are no others save that here. And David said, There is none like that, give it to me. And David arose and fled that day for fear of Saul, and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in dances, saying, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and was sore afraid of Achish the king of Gath. And he changed his behavior before him, and feigned himself mad in their hands, and scrabbled on the doors of the gate, and let his spittle fall down upon his beard. And then said Achish unto his servants, Lo, you see the man is mad. Wherefore then have ye brought him to me? Have I need of madmen that ye have brought this fellow to play the madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house? The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Holy Father, give us insight now, and show us the relevance of this passage for our second reading. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen. I forgot the second reading. Here is the second reading. This is Christ commenting on this passage right here. The second reading is Matthew chapter 12, 1 through 8. That's in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 12. Hear the word of God. At that time Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungry, and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. But he said unto them, Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, and they that were with him, how he entered into the house of God, and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days The priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. And if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. For the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. The Word of God. As you can see, David is forced to act like a madman in running away to the Philistines, away from his country in Israel, because Saul is seeking for his life. It was a belief among certain people that if you were insane, they didn't trouble you anymore. And that apparently was the way it was with the Philistines. Our theme is, here are three lessons about Christ that all converge in this reading. And the three lessons also apply to us today. First, this passage is used by Christ 1,000 years after David to denounce legalism. And second, the right way to understand how the laws of the Bible apply to your life is to see how Christ applied them. And third, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. And it is hostile to us. And so we see these three themes with David in this section. So our first point is the events portrayed in the life of David are used by Christ in his time to denounce legalism. We have two readings. The second reading in Matthew is where Christ interprets the events of the first reading. From Samuel, 1 Samuel. David is running for his life from an enraged king. And he comes to the town of Nob. And in those days, the tabernacle where the Ark of the Covenant was stored at Nob, not at Jerusalem. That would come later. And this also is where the high priest named Ahimelech dwells. And David comes here to obtain supplies. The high priest is frightened at seeing David because David is alone, which is odd. The priest, we don't know. Does the priest know that David is running away from Saul? We don't know that, but it's quite possible. David may have looked like a fugitive, which he was, and Ahimelech wants to know why David comes alone. So David, to save his life, deceives the high priest. He tells him that the king has sent him on a special mission that no one's supposed to know about, and that David's men will join him shortly. And he asks the high priest if there's any food. David has no way of knowing if the high priest will betray him to the king or not. The high priest tells him that there's only the consecrated bread, and according to the law, the priests are the only ones allowed to eat that. But David asked for it, and he tells him that he and his men have been kept sexually pure, and that he should therefore have the bread. That was one of the stipulations. You're not supposed to eat the bread if you're not. So the high priest gives it to him, and David flees on his way. Now, Christ comments on this seemingly incidental event here in 1 Samuel 21, and he comments on this to demonstrate to these legalists who are trying to destroy him in Matthew 12 the error of their ways. What's legalism? Well, the word does have more than one use. At one end of the spectrum, it means something that even sincere Christians can fall into from time to time, or else why would Christ say to his own disciples, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees," if there wasn't a danger of even his own people succumbing to legalism? Why else, again, would Paul rebuke Peter for tolerating the legalists at Galatia? So there's a danger that even Christians can fall into that. Now, at the other end of the spectrum are those who aren't even Christians, but believe that by trying to obey the law or any arbitrary series of do's and don'ts, they'll enter the kingdom of God or they'll be accepted by God. But in a church setting, what we usually see of legalism is the misinterpretation of the words of Scripture to conform to wrong ideas of what sin is and what is what sin is not, and then judging others by the same standard. What's usually thought of immediately is drinking alcohol, even in moderation. Some Christians believe it's absolutely sin. Some Christians know that it is not sin. But there are plenty of other examples of legalism. And for some people, they can't tolerate alcohol at all. And and for them, it's going to be a sin because it might start them on a binge. And they have to stay away from it all their lives. So to them, partaking of alcohol is sin, but it's also a sin for them to condemn everyone else for using it in moderation. And Paul goes into two entire chapters dealing with the strong brother versus the weak brother and legalism, and it deals with legalism, Romans chapter 14 and chapter 15. And in its more extreme form, legalism takes the place of Scripture as people try to justify themselves before God or before their own consciences, setting up their own righteousness in place of the righteousness of Christ. The Pharisees of Christ's time were consummate legalists. They had a whole rabbinic system that they imposed on the Word of God, a system given by rabbis, imposed on the Word of God. And they thought of this rabbinic system as the grid through which the Word of God is to be interpreted. That's why you see in the New Testament these frequent confrontations between the Pharisees and Christ. One example is Matthew 15, where it says, "Then came Jesus to Jesus, scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, 'Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands before they eat bread?' But he answered and said unto them, 'Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?' And then he proceeded to give them examples of their doing just that, and said, 'Thus ye have made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition.'" But now in this passage that comments on our 1 Samuel 21 passage, Christ here comments on the action of David from Samuel 21 about eating the priest's showbread from the tabernacle to show these legalists that they didn't know what they were talking about. And what Christ and the disciples did in his time was not illegal. They're going through a grain field and they're pulling ears of grain from the grain field and they're eating them. They're hungry. Now, the law said that if an Israelite passed through a neighbor's field, if he passed through a neighbor's field, he could do that. And the assumption was that he was hungry. But what he couldn't do is try to actually harvest part of the field and bring a sickle into the field. That he was forbidden to do, which would be stealing from his neighbor. And the neighbor's not going to be hurt by missing a few ears of grain, but he's going to be hurt if you're going to harvest his field. So what the Pharisees were doing, they wanted to justify themselves so much that what they did was, to speak, they put a fence around the law of God and, in effect, made their own law, to make doubly sure that they never violated God's law in any way. So their man-made law became the de facto law that they obeyed and not what God said, which they believed wrongly that if they obeyed what the law said perfectly, they would be justified if they kept it. So they made an easier thing to do so they wouldn't... They put a fence around the law so that they would make sure they obeyed God's law. And as long as they stayed within this fence, they believed they were in no danger of breaking God's law because according to them, that would have justified them. But the absurdity of this was that in keeping of their traditions, they were breaking God's law even worse with their traditions than without their traditions. Here's a modern example to show you how absurd this can all get. And you can have this in churches as well. But I'll give you an extreme example. Most Jews today are not religious. They treat their Judaism as more of a cultural or an ethnic thing. But there are a minority of them that are called Orthodox or even ultra-Orthodox. And they are the logical descendants of the Pharisees. There's about 12% of them in the world among the Jews. And the law of Moses said, you shall not kindle a fire on the Sabbath day. Some of you are familiar with this example. Why don't you kindle a fire on the Sabbath day, according to Moses? Because that takes work. 2,000, 3,000 years ago, kindling a fire took some work. They didn't have matches. They didn't have lighters. You were supposed to prepare ahead of time if you wanted cooked food on the Sabbath. Now, let's forward ahead in time, about 1,800 years from that, since the invention of the electric circuit. The rabbis have fenced this law of Moses in such a way as to make it illegal for a Jew to turn on an electric device. Because if an electric circuit is involved, you're making some species of fire, aren't you? You're kindling a fire. So, for example, religious Jews won't drive to the synagogue on the Sabbath, because when you turn the key in the ignition, you're making an electric circuit, and what they'll do is they'll walk to the synagogue, even if it's 40 blocks away. That's doing some work. And they'll do it, if they're Orthodox, they'll do it because the law says you're not supposed to do any work on the Sabbath day. Now, if you live in a building with an elevator and it's the Sabbath day, you don't use the elevator because you have to push the buttons. So you're going to take the stairwell and walk the steps no matter where your floor is because you're not supposed to work. Or what they do sometimes in some dwellings is you hire someone to push the buttons for you who's not a religious Jew. That's legalism. It's all legalism. And this is many of the criticisms that Christ is using in the New Testament deal with these kinds of things. And now what Christ is about to do is use this event of David and the showbread to point out to these Pharisees, these legalists, the hypocrisy of what they're doing. Now, how does he do it? That's our second point. Second point is the right way to understand how to apply the laws of the Bible in your life is to just see how Christ applied them in the examples he gave. The Pharisees see Christ and his disciples plucking ears of what the Bible calls corn on the Sabbath day as they make their way through a grain field. That word corn is probably better translated as kernels of grain. They didn't have in Israel 2,000 years ago, they didn't have what we call corn today. That was a North American discovery many years later. And it says, and they, that is the Pharisees, said to him, behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do on the Sabbath day. Why did they say this? Because the law of Moses says to abstain from all servile work on the Sabbath day. And the purpose of the law was to prevent people on this day of rest from toiling at their regular chores. It was not given to stop hungry people en route through a field from eating. Now, the Pharisees had interpreted this law in such an absolutist sense as to condemn everyone who plucked an ear of grain for whatever reason, especially someone like Jesus, whom they were trying to condemn. And so what Christ does is he throws this argument back in their face. And he gives them an even more egregious example of quote-unquote law-breaking, as they would define it, than of merely plucking ears of grain. And what he says to them in effect, I'm going to paraphrase, he says in effect, what about David? He did worse than I did, and you say he's righteous. So how can you condemn me? Now, he doesn't use those exact words, but that's the effect. See, what David did in his flight from Saul was to do what only the priests were permitted to do, to go into the temple of God, the holy place, and eat the food. David was not a priest. And according to Jewish tradition, which later became part of the Talmud, David was exonerated from any law doing in doing this. Why? Because they taught that danger to life supersedes the Sabbath law, and hence all laws connected with it. And you know, they were correct in that. They were. They were charitable in judging David, whom they regarded as the forerunner of the Messiah. But of the Messiah himself, ironically, they were not charitable. Now, Christ gives them then a second example, which is like the first. The priests in the temple, he points out, are hard at work on the Sabbath day. He reminds them of this. And this was harder work than, say, preaching a sermon. Think of what they were doing, the priests on the Sabbath day. What were they doing? They were slaughtering animals. They were skinning animals. They were moving the carcasses of animals after they had been bled. They were dealing with blood, right? Hard work in the service of the worship of God. And even the Pharisees held these priests to be blameless in their service on the Sabbath. What Christ does is he says, Matthew 12:5, have you not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? You can use profane in parentheses here. They're not defiling the Sabbath, but ordinarily it would be defilement because of all the toil they're doing. In other words, their toil, their exertions on that day, if it weren't priestly work necessary in the service of God, would indeed be profaning the Sabbath. And so because this is priestly work and necessary, they are held to be blameless. And even the Pharisees would agree to that. And Christ's point is, you hold them to be blameless because they are temple priests. And I am both priest and temple. And yet you have condemned me. Listen to his words. Here's what he says. But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, you would not have condemned the guiltless. End of quote. And by guiltless he means himself. And then he continues, for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So here's his argument. If you've honored David, the forebear of the Messiah, and granted him a judgment of charity, in essence a judgment of mercy, in what he did with the showbread, then you must honor the Messiah himself even more. But you haven't done it. And if you have honored the priests in the temple and given them a judgment of charity for the toil that they do on the Sabbath, you must therefore honor a priest greater than these for the labor that he does on the Sabbath, meaning himself. And if you've honored the temple, you must honor one who is greater than the temple, a greater temple. But you haven't done it. Everything converges in Christ. All the laws of the Old Testament converge in Christ. It's written in 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God in him are yea and amen. It means they're affirmed in him. They find their fulfillment in Christ. The whole Bible can only be understood through the grid of seeing it through Christ and what he's done. Luke chapter 24 says that all the law, Christ speaks and says, the law and the prophets and the Psalms speak of me. They point to me. Or Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7. In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. It means that the whole Old Testament, all these rules and regulations converge and have their meaning in what Christ did and the nature of what he set up in his kingdom. So he's basically saying you're making your observance of the Sabbath greater than your observance of the Lord of the Sabbath. That was his answer. We cannot understand the laws of God unless we see them through this grid of Christ. Our final point is this. The world is not our home. We're just passing through. And it's hostile to us. It was hostile to Christ. It was hostile to David. Notice 1 Samuel verse 8 in chapter 21. The priest Ahimelech gives David bread for the journey and gives him the sword of Goliath, which David took from the giant when he killed him. And David hurries on. He's fleeing from Saul, and he has no place to lay his head in the whole land. And so what he does is, of all places, he flees to the land of the Philistines, the ones he and Saul have been killing. We're reminded of Christ's verse as well. Foxes have holes, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. You think of the similarities between David and Saul, and think of the similarities between our conveyance, our journey through this life. This world is not our home either. Both David and Christ were kings. They endured, however, the indignities of this world as they waited their enthronement and their final victory. But for a while, they were unrecognized as kings, harried from place to place, harried out of the country, rejected by the people, and yet one day the people would acknowledge them as Lord with no place to lay their heads. We think it should think it not strange, as Jesus said, think it not strange if the world hates you. Christ was an alien in this world system, and this world hated him. In similar fashion, so was David. Hebrews chapter 5 speaks of Christ's humiliation when it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation. And that word obedience, it means he learned things through the ordeals of dealing with this world that he wouldn't ordinarily have learned, and he was prepared as a priest in dealing with the humiliation of the crucifixion, and he was prepared as a competent priest for those who come to him. And we as well, the Lord uses our ordeals, our hardships, the things that we struggle with to cause us to grow more and more confident in him and more aware that we have a home in heaven, a place that we're being prepared for. So in conclusion, we've seen that there are three lessons about Christ that converge here. The first is how Christ denounced legalism using this event in David's life. Secondly, the right way to understand all these laws and rules of the Bible in your life is to see how Christ applied them in his examples. And finally, we've seen that the world is not our home. It wasn't Christ's home. We're just passing through it en route to that land of promise. Let us pray. Holy Father, grant that we as well would see that the hope that we have stored up for us, the preparation that is being made for us in this life, is for that life to come where all shall be perfect. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen.